too loud, guys. Too loud, guys. All right, we are here. It is Too Huzzah. Loud, guys. That was our theme song, written by the very talented Mr. Cora Gardner.
Thank you very much.
And played every episode. Me. I'm Daniel Korn.
I am, as he just said, the Cory Gardner.
The Cory Gardner.
Yes.
You're like the Lorax.
I am the Lorax.
You speak for the music.
I do speak for the music.
All right, how's your week been?
It's been okay. You?
That's it?
Yeah.
No, nothing going on?
Eh.
Well, that's fun.
I don't really want to talk about it right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeez.
Yeah, what about you, man?
I don't know. Everything's fine. Fucking exams and...
True.
Final assignments and blah-bitty-blah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have much interesting to talk about, I don't think.
Yeah.
What did I do? Went to Hamilton this weekend.
Me too.
Partied.
Yo, when did I see you there, bro?
I don't know, man. Where were you?
I don't know, dog. I was at this frat party. It was really lame. There. You were at a frat party?
Yeah.
Yo, maybe we were at the same party.
Yo, what the hell,
What
bro?
The hell, bro?
Shit. All right, well, yeah, I don't know. That was that.
Yeah.
And that is about all that happened. Should we get into some stuff?
Hey, I guess so.
All right. Let's
do it.
All right, cool. What you been listening to for this week?
Nothing new, actually.
Okay.
I've been listening to...
Well, you better have some shit to talk about, because I don't have that much to talk about.
All right, we'll work it out.
This could be, like, a very short episode.
Yeah. All right, well, I've been listening to Fish a lot.
Yeah.
I've been listening... I have... My headphones have... One of the ears blew out, so I have... And I haven't had a chance to buy a new pair of headphones yet. Mm. So I've been listening through one ear. So I've only been listening to mono music. So I've been listening to Pet Sounds, like, a lot.
Yeah, Pet Sounds isn't in stereo?
I have, like, a stereo version and a mono version.
Okay, cool.
So I've been listening to the mono version of that and the mono version of Velvet Underground and Nico, because those are two of the only mono albums I have.
Yeah.
And it's, like, yeah, it's nice old... to know that at least I hear the whole mix in one ear.
Yeah. All those old Beatles albums?
I have them in stereo, because I have the stereo remasters.
You didn't get the mono ones?
No.
I thought you torrented the mono ones.
Bro, I don't download music illegally. No, only the stereo ones. I don't think I could find the mono ones. I think I wanted the mono ones.
True.
Yeah, Pet Sounds, like, because I was just walking in the sun, listening to Pet Sounds, and then some hip-hop beats that I was coming up with some pretty sweet flows to. But nice. When I was listening to Pet Sounds, it was just, like, so beautiful.
Like, what, you were just listening summer. To, like, come on, I want to get back into this hip-hop. so you were, like, listening to instrumental beats and just...
Yeah, just, like, MF Doom beats and just rhyming. I was rhyming out loud, too, so if anybody walked by me, which they didn't, but if anyone did, they would have heard me. Apparently talking to myself in rhythm.
But hey, it would have been funky. So
yeah, it would have been cool. Totally funky. Yeah, well, me and my friend Michael at school freestyle a lot, and so I've been getting a bit sharper with my skills.
Really?
Yeah, and cool. I just, like, I need to start writing a lot more so that I kind of, everything kind of connects, like the conscious and unconscious, and so I can freestyle better.
The minute you said that, I was in my head, I was like, I should get him to freestyle something right now. And then I was like, he's not going to want to do that, and that'll probably be lame.
It's true.
So let's not do that.
I don't want to do that at all. Not even a little bit.
Unless you send us an email.
Yeah.
Because we will dance.
That I rap.
We will dance for our fans.
It's true.
We will jump over
fly
hoops.
Fly through hoops.
Yeah.
Or jump over them.
Fly through might make more
fly
sense.
Fly through.
Dance through.
Hoops.
Jump through.
I do think jump over is something people say.
Like, it's jump through hoops.
But yeah, that makes a lot more sense. Mm. Why do you be jumping over the hoop?
Yeah, because
that's less
the
impressive
hoop is there
than
for you to jump through.
Yeah. You don't score a basket by going over the net.
Well, your body does if you do a slam dunk.
True.
Yeah. And
fair
that's
point.
The coolest.
You're right. So we should go over the hoop.
Yeah. Go over the hoop and then maybe, like, dive through it the other way. Or throw something through.
That would be damn impressive.
That would be pretty sweet. That would be, like, melding or, like, messing with physics.
Yeah.
So that'd be, like, the most impressive.
Would be God.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Were you going to say something about Pet Sounds?
Oh, yeah. It's just such a perfect pop album. It's just so beautiful. Every song is just so beautiful. It breaks my heart.
It breaks your heart.
It breaks my heart. Because
what
it's just so
heart
beautiful. I don't know. Just how... It's interesting because it's where Brian Wilson really completely changed the way that he kind of worked. And, you know, prior to then, the Beach Boy songs had been fun and surfing and girls and stuff. But now, like, he'd become so much more introspective that even when there are songs with optimism, they always feel a little melancholy and just
a little
heart aching.
Yeah, what are the singles from that album? Like,
well,
the big songs?
There's... what's the first song? Wouldn't It Be Nice.
Right, okay. Yeah, that song's kind of depressing.
Yeah. And it's just stuff like that. Even if it wasn't sad at all, though, even if they were all just, like, nice, happy songs, I think it would still just break my heart a little bit, because it's just so beautiful. Beauty
breaks my heart. So you're saying if the songs were completely different, they would still be the same.
That's right. They would still break my heart.
Very cool. Okay. Right, you got anything else?
Do you want
me to get into some stuff and maybe you'll remember?
Yeah.
Okay. So I was listening to Passion Pit's album Manners. I've sort of been getting back into them, mostly because it's summertime.
Yeah.
And they're just a good summertime band.
Man. I like they were calling it summertime, even though it's totally spring.
Yeah, what the fuck? It feels like summertime.
It does.
Like,
it absolutely.
Like
feels
I was
like
walking.
Summer.
Like I went to school in shorts yesterday.
Yeah.
You know,
I was just outside in a t-shirt and could be wearing shorts if I owned any.
Are you gonna buy some shorts this year?
Maybe.
Last year you were complaining, like you were like, "Fuck, next year I need to buy shorts."
So this year I'm not gonna say it. I'm just hopefully gonna do it.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was like, okay. I was like, I could listen, I have podcasts to listen to, but I don't really want to listen to podcasts because it's nice out and it's time for,
yeah.
I don't want to just listen to a bunch of guys sitting
time
around
for
talking.
Sunny tunes.
Yeah, it's time for tunes. So I was walking home from school and I put on some Passion Pit, and man, that album is kind of a bummer.
Oh, really? Is it not that great?
Well, it's that there's like about half the album is like really great.
Hmm.
Like fucking amazing hooks and really good.
Yeah, well, I like the bits of
just really really great tunes and just good vibes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other half, they just can't capture it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw them live, it was different, and I was digging pretty much every song.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard to capture that live energy in the studio.
Yeah,
for any band.
They're coming. They're here on Saturday,
cool.
And I have a wristband for CMW.
Oh yeah,
Canadian Music
what
Week. So I could totally go see them for free.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Who else can you see for free?
Anyone who's playing in Canadian Music
Is there
Week.
Anybody cool?
Well, the problem is that most of the cool people are playing on the Saturday. So, like, I could go see Childish Gambino, but it's on the Saturday, which is the same night the Passion Pit is on, which is the same night that I think maybe the Sheepdogs are playing, which is maybe the same night that Dan Mangan's playing.
And are they all playing, like, at the same time, or would you be able to go one after the other?
Different venues at the same time.
I see, probably, in Toronto, right.
I don't know. I have to actually look it up. The bigger problem is that I have a ton of shit to do this week. Like, this is the worst possible week Canadian Music Week could have fallen
Are you supposed down. To be covering it?
It's sort of a thing where it's like I can pick up a wristband, like I have to go downtown and I can get a wristband for it. Similar
oh, okay.
to what I
so
did
you don't actually
it.
Have a wristband yet.
No. But similar to what I got for North by Northeast where I like
right.
I got a media pass.
So nobody's gonna be like, "Hey man, why didn't you cover CMW?"
No, like I told my editor, she was like, "Hey," she sent out like an email to a bunch of people,
okay.
being like, I guess all the people who do the music stuff, being because she knows we're all in school and we're not getting paid
right.
and stuff, so
yeah.
it's like it's really just like, you know, whatever you can do, you know.
Hey, think I can get involved in that?
Maybe. You're not very
people.
Good at writing, at getting things done.
Yeah, it's true. I'm not.
So maybe. I don't
but
know.
I should start.
I think
if I
saw.
Get assignment.
I was perusing the Craigslist writing ads and I saw that she was looking for other writers. I'm not sure if you'd be able to be a music writer because I think she might have those covered.
I don't know what the hell else I would write about.
The thing is that there's a lot of stuff. Like, you'll get a lot of stuff that. You probably won't want to review, which is what I've been having. Where
like albums?
Yeah. Like, stuff. Like, because, you know, she doesn't want you to review anything you don't want to do because, again, you know, you're not getting paid for it and she
yeah.
wants you to sort of enjoy your work. But it's also like. So like, once in a while, she gets some really cool stuff. I'm actually going on Saturday to interview a Celtic punk band called the Stanfields.
Cool.
I have to check out their albums. So I actually have shit to ask them.
Yeah.
But she sort of will give you what you want to do, but she gets a lot of, like, mainstream albums and stuff.
Right.
Where I always feel bad because I, like, just need to turn them down because, like, I'm not going to say anything interesting about them or
yeah.
do or anything. But, I mean, I think she has enough people for that.
Yeah.
But you can try, man.
I wouldn't really want to, like, if I had to, I would, but I wouldn't really want to review albums. I would rather, like, review shows and that kind
of stuff. You don't get
stuff.
Too many shows because you only get... I mean, it's a thing where you get... Because you can only... It's only shows by Canadian bands.
Right.
Are the only ones that she can get press passes for. And, you know, that'll come down to you. Like, I don't get too many offers to go to concerts
right.
other than this Canadian Music Week and, like...
Right.
Like, the big events I'll get to, but, like, bigger concerts sometimes she'll get tickets for. Like, I think she got tickets for U2 when they came to town, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, once in a while, she'll get she'll get some bigger stuff, but for the most part, it's sort of more underground stuff. And it's maybe a thing where if you ask her, that if there's a show that you want to go to of a Canadian band, and you're like, hey, there's this band, I'd love to get into the show and maybe interview them or something.
And she can probably make it happen.
She can probably make it happen, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is a nice resource to have. Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, I got to start sharpening my pencil sword.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's that you got to do that. I'm going to link to that website just cuz I might as well do some promotion.
Shameless plugging.
Hell yes. That's what we do on Too Loud, guys.
Apparently.
Speaking of which, you can always go to memoryconf.tumblr.com to check out Sammy's webcomic. I forget what it's called.
Is it called The Jolly Redhead?
The Jolly Redhead, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good comic. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's cute.
I think it's a good comic.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have to go. So I can get a pass that I have to go downtown to pick up. And, like, I could do it today, but I have a lot of shit to do. That's the big problem is, really, I have a lot of shit to do.
Yeah.
So, and on Saturday, I already have plans with my sister. Making knishes.
Ooh.
It's gonna be good.
Rap snitch knish.
Yeah. What?
It's an MF Doom song.
Okay. Sick. So, yeah. Right, Passion Pit.
Right.
Right. Is that the other half of, like, I really want to see those guys again, because I think they're really good live.
Yeah.
But I really just want them to come up with a new album that's like...
They're not Canadian, are they?
No, they're not. But I can still get into the show.
Of course.
Though maybe it isn't part of Canadian Music Week. Maybe it's just another show that's going on. I was under the belief that it was.
I saw that they, like, on the rotate list, like, shows like Childish Gambino said CMW, but I had no idea what CMW was and didn't bother looking it up.
Yeah. It could be that they're opening for another band or that another band is opening for them, because Naked and the Famous, I know, are a band that are Canadian. I actually reviewed their album.
They're pretty bad.
I think it came out. You know, they have a couple songs that sound like Passion Pit that are really good.
Yeah.
Like, I have a review of that album that I also did not like that much. Like, I thought about half of it was okay and half of it was
I've only heard a single and it sounded like fine, vapid synth pop.
No, the single's pretty good. Like, the single is the song that sounds a lot like Passion Pit. Like, it has the, it has, like, the really high-pitched singer and that sort of decadent synth sound. And I dig that song.
At the time, I didn't like it, but I think that was a bias, too, of, like, the person who showed it to me.
Okay.
So.
I see. Yeah, I think...
those kind of things.
If that's the song, I'm pretty sure the big single is the one that sounds a lot like Passion Pit. And so if that's the case, maybe they're opening for Passion Pit or something. This is entirely conjecture on my part. But, yeah. So I was checking out those guys, and that album sort of bums me out. So I just really want them to come out with a second album that's, like, super-duper good.
MGMT did it.
Did they do it?
Yeah.
I do not listen to MGMT.
MGMT's second album's way more kick-ass than their first. And I always really
like
their
first. That's interesting. Is their second album, like, the one with a really colorful cover?
Yeah, congratulations.
I know that one is not received as well as their
really?
First one.
Really? That's
think
crazy.
So, no.
It's so much, like, more musically rich.
Interesting.
And it feels more authentic.
Would you say MGMT are an okay leap from Passion Pit? Like if I like Passion Pit and I want more shit that's like Passion Pit, could I go towards MGMT realistically? Does that make sense?
Probably not really, other than, like, splashy synths.
I like splashy synths.
Yeah, like, that's a trick.
I really like
share,
pretty synths, though. That's what Passion Pit do really well, is, like, making, like, nice synthy landscapes that are still
fancy. I guess
fancy
I shouldn't even
stuff.
Call MGMT's synths splashy, because they're not usually all
I don't really
splashy.
Know what you mean by splashy.
To me, what splashy synth means, because I think it's a term that I've heard thrown around by, like, music, like,
I've
journalists
I've never heard that before.
Hmm. Well,
and I am a music journalist.
True.
So,
well,
you're
I don't
wrong.
Know, maybe I just made it up, but... Which would be even cooler, but what I guess I've interpreted as when I've seen it is the kind of, like, just, like, big synth sounds that, like, you hear in Kanye West songs, for instance.
I like big synth sounds.
Yeah, me too.
I like synths when they don't sound like strings, like when they sound like synths.
Yeah, but, yeah, I don't know, MGMT and Passion Pit are pretty different, but there's no reason if you like one that you wouldn't like the other. Yeah. There's also no particular reason you would, though.
Fair enough. Yeah, do you know any stuff I could get into that is like Passion Pit but not...
Not really. I mean, I think there's got to be a lot of stuff that sounds kind of like
you would think so, right?
Yeah.
But none of them just hit that. It's that same thing where there are so many, like, you know, there's always going to be all these bands that sound like other bands.
Yeah.
But it's like they don't
hit one of them
you.
Just nail it with their songs.
Yeah. And it's a shame because Passion Pit, I wish, could nail it all the time, but they just can't.
Yeah. I should check out that album. I bet I will dig at least half of it.
Yeah. The first three or four songs of that album are great, and then, you know, Sleepyhead.
Yeah.
Sleepyhead's on there. Sleepyhead's a great song. So, yeah. I don't know. If you guys have any...
That's like Mika. I remember when that Mika single, Grace Mika? Kelly, came out. Yeah, remember Mika? He's completely disappeared.
I don't remember Mika at all.
He had that single, Grace Kelly, where it's kind of like him sort of doing like a Freddie Mercury kind of shtick.
I don't remember.
Wow, I'm surprised you don't remember.
I don't remember that
I tried
at all.
To be like Grace Kelly. Ooh, but other looks were too sad.
Not getting it.
So I tried a little Freddie. Ooh, and then it went like, I could be do 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 do. You really don't remember that song?
Yeah, I don't remember that at all. You're gonna have to post that.
I remember seeing that music video the first time I ever was stoned, and it just blew my mind. I was like, this is Freddie Mercury. But then I listened to his album, and like none of it hit home the way that track does.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm gonna call out to listeners, because we have two of them.
Find us music that sounds like Passion Pit.
Yeah, find me music that sounds like Passion Pit. I need more Passion Pit in my life. But not. You know? Yeah, okay. The other album I checked out, and this is something that I was kind of late to the party to, is Sleigh Bells. You ever heard of Sleigh Bells?
I've heard of them.
They're a duo, so it's like a girl singer and a guy guitar player. Maybe he plays synths. I don't know. I didn't really do any research.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. And I guess they have drums, but I guess it's probably a drum machine. And they're just fucking crazy. Like, they make really dirty-ass, grimy kind of songs. Like, stuff that you would think...
As in, like, electronic music?
No, that's the thing. It's sort of... I mean, I guess there are elements of electronic music in there, but it's sort of like Death From Above 1979, where you're like, oh...
You know, I can't get into that band.
I know, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I can't even...
Probably won't like Sleigh Bells, because they're very aggressive in that sort of, like, here's a bunch of crazy sounds in your goddamn face.
And I like that, and, like, I think with Death From Above, it's just that their songs don't work for me.
Why?
So if Sleigh Bells have songs I can get into, that I'm sure I like
have such good songs, though.
Maybe so. I don't know what it is, though. They just never resonate with me.
I've been rules, man. They're playing Dansby Park, I think, in July.
I'm sure that'd be sweet.
You should go see them live.
If tickets aren't that expensive and you're all going,
they'll probably be like 20 or 30 bucks.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure me and Adam will go.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else will. Maybe Tal. Tal likes Death From Above also. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, part of the allure of Death From Above is just the fact that they are making those sounds. Like, just the fact of, like,
yeah, the sounds are very
like,
cool.
Just like, this sound is coming out of a bass guitar?
Yeah.
What?
I definitely dig that fact as well. I love weird bass guitar sounds.
Yeah. Anyway, so Sleigh Bells do a similar... I mean, Sleigh Bells are sort of more intricate and more aggressive and sound less like a duo. Like, you wouldn't expect that they were a duo, and I think a lot of that comes from the fact that they have drums, but there's no drummer. But it's pretty cool. I mean, their songs... They just came out with a new album, so I'm going to check that out. But I mean, this... I listened to their first album, which is called Treats, and it's from 2010, I believe. Maybe 2009. It's just cool, man. It's cool. Cool sounds.
Yeah.
Like, really dirty. Like... And I heard about it from the Bombcast, which is kind of interesting, which is the Giant Bombs podcast. So I got a music recommendation from a video game podcast. That's pretty cool.
Well, Jeff Gerstmann listens to a lot of hip-hop.
Tons of hip-hop. He has his own hip-hop project.
Right.
You ever heard of, you ever heard any Midnight Brown?
I never listened to
it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, like, is he a good rapper?
I mean, he's a fine rapper, but it's more that it's like, it's funny.
That's awesome. It's really funny. Good.
And he's pretty serious about it, too. Like, he's got, like, He's got four or five albums.
Huh.
You
awesome.
Know? And, like, yeah, he talks about, you know...
I definitely want to look into that.
It's worth looking into,
even though
like,
I'm not even a video game person.
He doesn't rap, but he's not, like,
a nerdcore
MC Frontalot or anything. Like, he's not rapping about that stuff. Because he's really into gangster rap, you know?
Yeah,
so he's doing that kind of stuff.
True.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty funny. It's just... I'm actually, you know what? I deleted that stuff a little while ago, and I think I'm going to re-download it. It doesn't really last over a whole album,
right?
Most of that, but it's
it sounds a bit like a novelty rap kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? He is legitimately passionate about it.
Yeah,
and I think that's cool. And
yeah, I back that. For sure.
I think it's just cool that he's making hip hop tracks. Jeff Gerstmann is a sweet, sweet dude.
Yeah.
You got anything else you want to talk about? Because I'm running low. I have one more thing.
I don't know. We were having an interesting conversation last week that I feel never quite finished just because of time constraints. And, like, it was about, like, Phish fans and stuff.
Sure.
And, and you know, how I feel like there's kind of an unfortunate stigma attached to them in that they get the stigma as if on the whole there is something wrong with them. And it's just, it's no different than putting people in any kind of groups, like, pointing to, like, mainstream pop listeners as being this, or pointing to, like, you know, hipster types as being this. when in reality, of course, any fan base, there's going to be sort of all different sides of people. And I think the problem is that, like, we as, I don't know, for lack of a better, as a community, I guess, I was going to say as a society, but community probably works better.
No, you're not a society.
Not even too
You're fun. Not into that yet.
No, but I mean just, like, people on the whole. Right. And, like it youth, because those are the people who I most communicate
oh,
with.
Oh, so you don't mean, I thought you were going to say, like, the fish.
No, not fish fans. Oh, okay, fans. People in general
right.
kind of take these groups and, like, simplify them and make it as though people are defined by their taste, where, of course, the reality is that people, you know, just aren't defined by their taste. If they choose to be, then that's a kind of weirder problem.
I mean, I think when you're talking about fish, I think the stigma surrounding them is the fact that they are, you know, perceived to be a stoner band. Mm-hmm. Like a band for stoners. And I think I have never met a fish fan who is not a stoner.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
And that's what I mean, and that's why.
But I'm sure they're out there.
No, sure, but I think you can make the assumption, and I think it's a pretty fair assumption, that most people who really like fish are also really into marijuana.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong with the pot thing. I think the bigger problem,
there isn't,
though,
but the stigma is like, oh, they're stoners. It's sort of dismissive.
I don't even
know
if that's exactly it, though, because I think there are stoners who will still rail against fish and their fans, and it's less about the drugs themselves than it is about the kind of pseudo-hippie lifestyle, or what is interpreted as a pseudo-hippie lifestyle. When I think a lot of the fish fans don't even necessarily subscribe to that. And to try to actually articulate what I was trying to say before,
right.
People's tastes are obviously going to say things about that person, but they still aren't defined by them.
No, of course not. I mean, you can't. Here's the thing. That's very true. Is that you obviously can't boil a person down into the things that they like.
Yeah.
But the things that they like are a pretty clear reflection.
Exactly, they're a reflection
on their
the
personality.
Person. Yes.
You know, to an extent, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I think in terms of the fish thing, I think is that you know, a lot of people sort of take it as music for, like, college
burnouts.
College burnouts. It's just, that's a good term for it.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think that's why people are dismissive of that community, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, and they're not entirely wrong. It's like, fish is one of those bands where you know, it's like, you sort of grow up, or this is the perception, I'm not saying this is true.
Yeah.
Where you sort of grow up and you become, like, an upstanding member of society or whatever, and then you sort of look back on your days as a stoner in college,
hippie,
listening
yeah.
to fish. Similar to actually, like, How I Met Your Mother, I think.
Yeah,
says,
yeah.
Has a lot of jokes about that kind of thing, and I think that's a very common perception.
Yeah, true. But, you know, again, I guess what it kind of comes down to is, like, you could take any group of fans of something and boil them down to the perceived negative traits. Anything.
Right.
Like,
well, of course.
There is not a single, like, even, like, the best, coolest, smartest band in the world or movie in the world or whatever will have its sector of fans who will have a certain stigma around them.
Well, I think it's maybe just a thing of, like, I think that comes down to just the way people act.
Exactly.
You know?
Like, exactly, people have self-righteousness about the things they like.
Yeah.
Any group of fans.
But I think it's a good thing to have that. I think it's good to have that kind of self-righteousness to an extent.
Hmm.
There's a lot of crazy shit going on right now in the video game community right now with Mass Effect 3, which is a game that I've been really enjoying. But where it's people have been unsatisfied with the ending of Mass Effect 3, so they are rallying to get BioWare to change the ending of Mass Effect 3, to, like, put out a patch that changes the ending. Huh. Now, I have not seen the ending yet. I'm not that far through the game.
Right.
But
you haven't had it spoiled for you yet.
No, I have not. I've very, very much stayed away from everything.
Yeah.
It's just so crazy. It's that sense of entitlement that you get from being a fan.
Yeah.
Is like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah,
these guys are making shit, and they have to, you know, they're under budget.
But, you know,
even that's
a very two-sided argument, because it's like, yes, who the fuck are you? Yes, it's, the, you know, the artist's work,
right.
and, like, their,
right,
and
right,
it's
right.
their kind of their thing, and they do whatever the hell they want with
but
it.
But it's also that
but
as
the
a
fans
fan,
fuel them.
Yeah, it's the fans fuel them, and it's also that as a fan, you are owed a certain something for the support.
Or you feel that you
or
are.
Or you feel that you are. Yeah, you feel a sense of entitlement. Anyways, which is all a point of me saying that, I guess, you know, fans together sometimes are kind of negative.
Yeah.
And people who get too into community sometimes get kind of crazy about these things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sort of in our nature to support the things that we like, and then when you're around these other people who think the same way, it sort of becomes this weird, sometimes very positive thing, sometimes very negative thing.
Yeah.
It's, or sometimes both at the same time. I think usually both at the same
time. See, I like to think because, like, for people like us, we have such kind of eclectic tastes, and we're fans of so many things that we don't really associate ourselves with any one thing. And I think because of that, we avoid those kinds of pitfalls. Granted, when artists I like, when I perceive artists I like to be making mistakes with their career, it might, like, upset me sometimes.
Yeah.
But I always realize that, like, as the artist, it is their freedom to do what they want to do, especially with rappers who sell out and stuff. I'm like, well, they're doing their thing. They're making their money.
Oh, yeah, I don't have any problem with bands selling out. I mean, unless the sellout is sort of, you know, some people will hate on a band just because they've signed with a major label.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I will only hate on a band if they've signed with a major label and the album that they released because of that is bad.
Yeah, exactly. For sure. But, you know, where I'm going with that, I guess, is that because we kind of have that understanding, we're fans of so many things, it's not like people who are sort of, you know, I think the less things you're into, the more likely you are to end up defining yourself by being a fan of this thing because it's kind of all you know. So I think maybe a lot of Phish fans don't really, and I like to think that there's a lot more who are just open-minded and listen to a lot of music because Phish are such a musical band, but the ones who maybe have that stigma are the Phish fans who don't really go too far beyond that kind of comfort zone of Phish and jam bands. And so they become so deep into
Well, that's the thing. It's that feeling.
Scene.
It's that feeling that there's so much material out there for that one band that, like, they don't need to listen to other music, right?
Right.
It's like, I have years
Which
and years
of
this
Which is how I've
kind of
even
stuff.
Been feeling getting into Phish lately.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's just not entirely true.
I don't know, though. Some people are able to just do that, like, to grasp onto one sound and just be cool with that for a long time. I can't do that, which is, I think it's both a negative and a positive to not be able
I think
to
it's
do
definitely
that.
A lot more positive.
I don't know, though.
Because it creates
it's what we were talking
a broader
about
view of the
you're
world.
Right, you're right. But I think it also stops, like, me personally, sometimes it stops me from getting into an album and really appreciating the depths of an album, you
right.
know? Where it's like, okay, I'm liking this, but, like, man, I'm, like, not, I'm just, like, I get, I'm getting bored and I need
to
switch.
Yeah, I
want to
move on to another sound.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I've been finding less and less, like, my sort of, it used to be that I had musical phases that lasted for, like, months, you know, where I would be, like, I've been listening to a lot of Rush recently for, like, the past 3 months or whatever. And now it's, like, my musical phases last, like, a couple days, you know? It's, like, maybe I'll have, like, I had a couple weeks ago, this was when Tal was on, I would listen to Cage the Elephant, like, 2 days in a row and was getting really into them. And then, like,
and then
that was it. And then that was it. Like, for 2 days. Just, like, I listened to that album, like, 5 times or something. And then
see, it's funny, because for me, for a long time, it was like that. But then, obviously, the last few months, I had this huge Kiss phase.
Yeah.
And that was literally so much of what I was listening to.
I think a lot of it comes down, and a lot of this happens because of the internet, you know? Just having this access. Where it used to be, like, back in the day, where I was buying CDs and I wasn't really downloading stuff because there were, you know, torrents didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Or if they did, they weren't, like, a big thing. So, you know, it was like LimeWire. So it was like, if I wanted to download a whole album, I needed to go and get every single song. And then sometimes, as you heard with my copy of, Slayer.
Right.
Of, Rain and Blood, it's like sometimes all the songs would be like different qualities and stuff.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a bitch. So it was like, okay, well, I'll just go buy the album and then problem solved and I'll, you know, and I'll ingest this album. And then I had a CD player that had, like, a case that had 4 CDs that you could keep in it. So I was, like, had this rotation of 4 CDs. And then, when, you know, I would have 1 CD that I was done with and I would rotate it out for something else. But all I had was those 4 CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have iPods that have, like, all of our music at all times. And, you know, downloading
it's
since...
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, since Mega Upload got down, downloading has been more difficult. But, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
but you,
I mean, because since Mega Upload's been down, there's just, it's been, like, an epidemic, really.
Yeah.
Even MediaFire stands, but has so many dead links.
Yeah. So, you know, that's becoming...
I don't even know if we should be talking about this. I'm scared now.
Why?
The feds will be after us.
No, man, we're in Canada. We're fine.
Right.
We're fine. We're protected. But it's that, what was I saying?
Contra- Mega Upload being down.
Yeah. Like, it's become harder, but, I mean, I've found ways to work around it. I'm sure you have as well.
Sure.
I
mean, there are times where I do run into walls and there's something I really want to listen to
and
just can't find a link for anymore.
Yeah.
But more often than not, I've been able to get around that.
Yeah, I've mostly been able to get around it. There have been a few times I've been like, should I get it off of iTunes? But then I'm like, no, because I want a CD. If I could spend
money. Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, so it's just like having all of this stuff is great out there, but it's overwhelming, as you said. It's very, you know, and it's like it causes me like a like stress.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. It does.
Where
me
it's
too.
Like I where it's like it's, so it's hard for me to focus on this one thing that I'm listening to now because I'm like, well, I got all this other stuff that I have to listen to, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, I've been thinking lately, like as I have before, about how different and maybe kind of more pleasant it would have been to just kind of be around in like the 70s and just, you know, going to the record store and getting the one record you got maybe that week or that month, and like that was kind of like the new thing, and you got to like be excited by it and listen to it over and over again. And now we just have too many options.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing because music has come so far and there's kind of so much more unique stuff we can get, and we can take stuff from any decade, you know, from this century.
Yeah.
So it's pretty amazing, but again, just very overwhelming.
Yeah. I actually recently, because we went to Deja Vu, which is a used CD store. They don't sell records, they just sell CDs and DVDs and that kind of thing.
I'm surprised they haven't gotten into vinyl at this point, because that's because vinyl's kind of such a big thing, yeah.
Well, think about it, like, think about how packed Deja Vu is, like the store that we go to, which is kind of the shitty Deja Vu. Like, the ones that are sort of more downtown have a much better selection.
Yeah.
But, like, think about how much space there... Like, there's no space for vinyls in there.
I guess, but I mean, if they changed their CD rack so that they had space underneath them, they could just put vinyls there.
Maybe, but...
Because that's what, like, that's what Vortex does.
Yeah. Is Vortex still around? Vortex closed?
It probably is. I don't know.
I feel like it might have closed.
It's been a long time. I guess it could have. I'd ask my dad. He would know.
I feel like I remember hearing about it closing, but I could be wrong about that.
Oh, I completely remember, like, years ago, my dad and I going there for their, like, final sales. Yeah. So it must have closed. Which is a bummer. That was a great record store.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. That was the first UCD store I probably ever went into.
For me, it was either that or Deja Vu.
Because I used to go down, like, me and Uzi... used to hang out, like, I used to go down to his area, because he lives at Eglinton, and that was cool, because I was, like, you know, 13 or 14, and, like, just starting to go downtown, and,
felt like the
and,
city.
Like, whenever I went down there, we would go, like, shopping for CDs and stuff, and that's another thing, is that you lose that aspect.
You do, I'm really sad about that. You lose the community aspect. I forget about it sometimes, how much it actually meant to me in high school to go out.
To go on that
with
pilgrimage.
My dad, especially, and just kind of, like, buy CDs and get excited about them.
Yeah. Sometimes that shit sort of makes me feel like just giving up. Downloading music, you know?
Me too.
Like, it was a thing that I noticed when I went down to Deja Vu, where it was like, we went down there, and I haven't bought CDs in forever. Mm-hmm. Because ever since I started getting vinyls, I sort of had, like, a strict vinyl policy, where, like, if I'm buying CDs, I'm spending the money on CDs, I'm just gonna do it on vinyls, so that I get the solid, nice, big thing. And I still believe that.
Yeah, it's a nicer presentation.
Yeah. But, at the same time... You know, we went in there and I picked up like some $3 or $4 CDs, and that felt really awesome to have those $3 or $4
CDs. I considered buying
some
$3 or $4 CDs, but it's always that confidence of like, I don't really need the CD.
Yeah. So I'm getting over the no CDs policy that I had before.
Yeah.
Just for the fun of being able to go somewhere and see some music and be like, oh, this could be interesting. It's $3. I'll pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Anyways, where did this spring off of the fish stuff?
Yeah,
we're still talking about that. Is there anything else you wanted to bring up?
No, I think I said what I wanted to say on that.
Okay.
That conversation went into a more interesting direction anyway.
I guess so. I mean, I guess the internet is a pretty amazing thing, but sometimes that stuff can get pretty crazy. I think it's a good thing overall for musicians and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Because, I feel like it used to be this cool thing where you'd go down with all your friends and go get some music.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you don't have that anymore. Now it's like, well, what did you download this week?
Yeah.
What did I download this week? Cool. That's good. You know, it's not like, yo, check out this thing that I found.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, you got any other albums to talk about? Great. All right.
I guess not.
I have one more. Actually, going back to buying CDs, it was the Winter's Flea Market at York, I think last week or 2 weeks ago. So that's where it's like Winter's is one of the colleges of York. So you know, I guess they get people to bring in some shit. And they sell like a bunch of crap. Like just like a bunch of books and clothes and little tchotchkes and that kind of stuff. So they were selling some CDs, and I was taking a look through, and I actually found a Chris Terry Group CD. Did you come with us when we saw Chris Terry Group at the Rex?
I don't think so.
Chris Terry Group is really... Chris Terry is a bassist, New York-based, jazz bass player. Electric, not stand-up.
Okay.
And,
Electric as in a bass guitar?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I went to go see them because I had to... Last year, I had to do this project for Jazz Theory, where I had to go, like, see a bunch of bands, you know, and like, make reports on them.
Right, I remember that.
You know? So, we saw Chris Terry Group, and they, like, blew my goddamn mind, like... They were so great. One of my profs, Kelly Jefferson, plays sax for them.
Maybe I was there.
I think you might have seen Kelly Jefferson Quartet. Maybe not Chris Terry.
It was the night that there was this kind of R&B band. There was a soul guy before,
right?
Yeah. The wedding band.
That might have been the Chris... Yeah, I think that was Chris Terry Group.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because they were really, really awesome.
I was, like, blown away by it. Their drummer is this guy named Dan Weiss, who is one of the best drummers I've ever heard in my goddamn life. Like, he is so good, I can't believe it. Like, he's so unique in his approaches, and, like, so propulsive, and he's always kind of going crazy, but sometimes he'll just, like, hang back and just, like, put on a really simple groove, but then when he goes crazy, he, like, goes nuts, and it's, like, the most technical, most musical stuff I've ever heard. It's amazing. So I wanted to get their album, so he was selling it at the show, but they all sold out, and it was actually pretty cool. He put together a really nice package, because he's a writer also, so he put together, like, this package that was sort of, like, it's like, $20, and it was, like, a CD, but it's inside, like, a book, and the book has, like, poems by him or something.
That's cool.
It was a really neat packaging idea. I didn't get a chance to buy them, though, because they were all sold out, and also I'd already spent money, because I'd paid cover, and...
Right.
I'd paid cover, and I'd probably bought some beer, and I bought dinner and stuff, so I didn't want to spend any more money, so I didn't buy anything. And then I was thinking about buying it from his website, and then I didn't. So, and then I was trying to find it for download, but he's fairly obscure, so, because, you know, it's just like, it's a new jazz guy, so
right.
It's kind of always hard to find, no matter how big
they are.
Yeah,
of course, no one's putting it up to download.
You know, how big they are in the community, it's always going to be tough to find. Anyways, so I was at this flea market, and there was a Chris Terry Group CD there for $1.
Nice.
$1!
And it's a good album?
Yeah, it's great. It's called Almost Certainly Dreaming. I think it's his first album, because I think the one that we saw was his second, or maybe his third. I don't know. And it's pretty cool. I think the songs on the newer one, from the samples that I remember listening to, because, you know, he has samples on his website, and I had to write down this report, so I was listening to a lot of the samples to sort of be able to write about the music. I think from the samples, I liked his newer stuff better. It's a little bit more melodic. Like, melodically, it's a little bit more interesting, a little bit catchier.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really good. Like, at first I wasn't really digging it, and then a couple songs in, Dan Weiss just fucking exploded, and I was on board. Pretty cool record. I would recommend it. I'm not sure if I'm gonna find any links for it, because I'm not sure if it's on the YouTubes. But if you're into jazz at all, and you want to hear sort of some interesting stuff that is new, You would do well to check out Chris Terry Group. Very cool band. All right. So somehow we were able to stretch that out into 40 minutes. Good job, Corey. Well done.
We always have stuff to say.
We did it. I only had 3 CDs to talk about, but
we
succeeded. All right. News?
I'm going to start with some tour news.
Okay.
I didn't even write it down because I didn't see it on the internet. I heard it on the radio last night. Got really excited.
Cool.
Because there's Q107.
Yep.
And the announcer says... if there are fans of Kiss and Motley Crue, you got something to be excited for, whatever he said. And I was like, yes, I'm a fan of Kiss and Motley Crue. So, for the first time since the 80s, when they toured together and Kiss kicked Motley Crue off the tour for being too belligerent, they are touring together again this summer.
Corey, you gotta go see that show.
I'm definitely
gonna
go see that show. The thing is, they're not coming to Toronto until September, which means that it might end up being a school night, but
Doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah,
you can't miss this.
Of course not. It's gonna be like a big stadium show. And I'm cashing it.
Like, the fact that me and Adam have both seen Kiss and you haven't
is
preposterous.
And the fact that the two of them is so perfect because it's like two shows I need to see before I die, two of the best hard rock bands ever, the most exciting night of hard rock, and two bands who may at any day stop touring forever.
Yeah.
So I definitely am gonna hit that show.
Good. Like, if you make any excuses about not going to that show, like, oh, it's a school night, or like,
no, it's gotta be a real
money.
Good excuse.
Like, fuck,
no,
man.
It's not gonna be that.
Good.
If it's an excuse, it's gonna be that, like, my fairy grandmother just died.
I get your fairy grandmother.
Or that.
Yeah. Who are you gonna go with?
I don't know. I'll go myself. I have to.
Yeah?
Sure.
Man. Just to see the light in your eyes, I would go to that show with
Sweet.
You. It'll probably be really expensive, though.
Oh, it will be. And ideally, I'll get, like, decent enough tickets that I'll be paying, like, $150.
Yeah, you will. Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if I will have
it's the at, money. Like, I think it's at Molson or something.
Yeah. I'm not. Oh, that's awesome. Molson's a great place. I love seeing shows at Molson. Stand there's
excellent. Never been to a stadium.
Oh, so. Oh, it's outside.
Oh,
that's the beauty right. of it is that it's outdoors, so it's like really nice because if it's a nice night, you have like this wind going through, and it's outdoors, and the sound is usually really good there. At least in my experience, I've heard conflicting reports, but the two shows I've seen at Molson Amp have been great.
Cool.
I saw Gigantour there, and I saw Incubus there, and both of those shows had really good sound, so that was cool. That's nice. Yeah, I don't know what my monetary situation is going to be come September.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a long way off. I wish they were coming more like in the thick of summer. Yeah. I was upset to find out that they weren't. Like, maybe if
what would you do? Because we're going on this road trip, right?
Yeah.
At the beginning of July to go see Further and Fish, which are two bands that I don't give a shit about, but I'm there to go see a road trip.
Yeah,
sure. Go to be part of a road trip. Because I've never done that, with my friends, at least.
Yeah.
So, what would you do if they were planning a show in the middle of that road trip?
I mean, I'd have to stick with the road trip.
Really?
Yeah, I'd have to miss it, I guess.
All right. Just checking.
Yeah.
Just seeing.
Unless there was some way that I could actually, like, hit. Like, for instance, if they were playing a show, like, in the same city that Fish were playing, and I had to miss one of the Fish shows and go by myself, see Kiss and Motley Crue, that's what I would do.
Right.
But, like, if it would have meant missing the road trip, I wouldn't have done that. Because no matter how sweet that night would have been, it would have just been such a bummer that I was missing the road trip.
Yeah. Anyways, man, if you want to get tickets, like, you better find out when those tickets are coming out and, like, jump on them when they come out. Yeah, that's going to be, that's probably going to sell.
I'm also going to try entering the Q107 contest.
Do it. Absolutely. Why the hell not?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, do that. Do you know when tickets are coming out for that? Don't tell the listeners.
I have no idea. Yeah. All those Kiss and Motley Crue fans in the audience are going
to... You should find out because you don't want to have to pay scalp tickets for that kind of shit.
Yeah, definitely not.
That'll be like $300.
That's just so exciting. When I heard that shit on the radio, I was like, yes!
When you were telling me about that ad, I was getting excited. Just because you were excited.
Yeah. what a great night that
was. Great. Yeah, man. You gotta get on that. Okay. I have a new release that I want to tell. I have two new releases, actually, that are coming out.
Cool.
Tennis Andronicus put out one of my favorite punk bands ever, probably, but a really great band. Put out a mixtape recently. It's live recordings, rarities, demo recordings, and covers, ranging from The Boys Are Back in Town to the Hot Pocket jingle.
Sweet.
Compilation is called Tennis Andronicus LLC Mixtape Volume 1. And you can get it on the band's Tumblr page. I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm pretty pumped for that.
Yeah,
it's a pretty cool thing. Because I haven't heard anything from Tedis Andronicus for a few years now, so it's nice to see them coming out with stuff. I'm sure they're working on an album now or something. That band is wicked.
Yeah, they always sound really good.
You have gotten into them?
No, I've only heard them when you played them.
Oh, man, you would dig them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They kind of sound like Bruce Springsteen if he was a punk band.
I remember this interview when Neil Strauss asked Bruce Springsteen if his younger self could give his current self advice on his music, what it would be. And Bruce Springsteen's response was, louder guitars.
Other new release, which is something that I actually heard about this. I got this email earlier today.
It's very interesting to me.
Yeah, I get these emails because I don't exactly know how I became part of this mailing list. I don't know if I bought a record and became it, or if... my editor from Cadence just like put me on this list, or maybe it was my editor when I was working for MV Remix, but somehow I got added to this mailing list that sometimes gives me news about like new releases coming out and stuff. So Joey Ramone is coming out with a solo album.
Beyond the Grave.
Yeah, this is 11 years after he died. The tracks are coming from a bunch of demos and unreleased recordings that Joey had cut at various times during the last decade. So the album's gonna be called it's called You Know, and it's
that's a good title. I bet that's something that he said a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's why.
Yeah.
Because it's like dot dot dot. You know. It's a solo album. There's gonna be a limited edition 7-inch single being released on Record Store Day, which is April 21st. The album itself is coming out on May 22nd. So this is gonna be, I guess, demos from his old from a bunch of different stuff. There's some pedigree sort of attached to this album. It's got Ed Stasium.
Hmm. Yeah, he produced a lot of their own stuff.
Yeah, he produced Leave Home and Rocket to Russia and Road to Ruin.
Yeah.
Which is that's pretty good.
Yeah.
He sort of put together a lot of the instrumentation and is going to be doing the vocals on a bunch of the tracks, I guess.
Like backing vocals?
I don't know. It says Stacium also contributed instrumentation and vocals to each.
Presumably that means backing vocals.
I would hope so.
Because if it's all, I mean, why would he be doing lead vocals? Yeah. It's Joey Ramone's album.
Wouldn't make sense, no. Along with that, there's also some pretty cool people attached to it. You're going to have Bunny Carlos from Cheap Trick, drummer Richie Ramone.
Cool.
Is going to be in there. And who else? Oh, Joan Jett is gonna be in there doing some stuff.
Nice.
So, you know, could be kind of neat.
Yeah, I like the sound of this.
I'm sort of down on...
His first solo album was pretty cool.
Was it?
Not great, but pretty cool.
Right on. I'm sort of down on posthumous albums.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Me too.
But it could be cool. I'm not sure.
But I just like the idea of hearing Joey Ramone sing some new stuff once more.
New stuff,
quote-unquote. Yeah. Yeah, unheard stuff.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm going to get this when it comes out. I probably won't.
Listen to it.
I probably won't. Man, I
love the Ramones.
I need to remind myself to go to a record store on record store day with a bunch of money.
Yeah.
And like, go check out, get some cool things. Because I'm really enjoying getting, amassing a collection of vinyls. Like, getting all these, like, punk 7-inches and stuff and that kind of stuff. So
I have a new Flaming Lips album.
What?
You didn't know about it?
No.
Oh, I knew. It's their record day album.
Right, it's their collaborative
album. But it's
album,
like,
right?
It's been confirmed, like, the track and all the collaborators have been confirmed.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. There's some pretty cool collaborators.
They actually released a couple tracks. I haven't listened to it.
If they have, but, I didn't hear
that. I think they have.
But, like, yeah, man. Erykah Badu is officially confirmed for one track. They got Prefuse 73, who's, like, a really cool hip-hop cut-and-paste artist. They got Edward Trapp and the Magnetic Zeros on one track.
That's cool.
There's some other interesting collaborations.
Yeah, that's neat. Because there's that, and, you know, I would pick up the single of this Joey Ramone thing, and
yeah,
I think that's all cool stuff. And I've never experienced a record store day. Like, I've never gone down to a record store for record store day, because I sort of only recently started actually caring.
Right.
So, I'm hoping to get in on that. That'll be cool. Yeah. What you got?
My news is all, like, release news, and it's all release news that's somewhat exciting to me.
Okay, well, hit me.
So, all right, so I guess I'll go in order from kind of least exciting to most. So, Elton John's working on a new album, but the concept is really exciting, because, I mean, in the last decade, Elton John's kind of had a bit of a comeback and kind of made a lot of albums that have sort of been in the style of his 70s work, and they've kind of worked on that level. But with this album, he's working with T-Bone Burnett, who's produced a lot of stuff, and he's really excited about it because they're kind of bringing it back to, like, raw stuff. It's just going to be, like, him and a bassist and a drummer, much like his classic in my music collection, live album from the early 70s, which was just, like, the date of the concert. Sure. There was, like, a radio show, and it was just him on piano with a bassist and a drummer, and, like, his sound boiled down to that was so perfect and so groovy, and I'm just really hoping that somehow, even at this stage in his life, he can pull something off that sounds as rocking as that did.
I'm gonna run something by you. He won't be able to.
I know! He absolutely won't, but I'm very interested to see what he pulls out anyway.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously he's still got Bernie Taupin writing the lyrics, so that's a plus.
Yeah.
Not that he's been on a roll with the last few albums anyway, Bernie Taupin, but, you know, still the collaborator Elton John needs.
Speaking of new releases, are you done talking about Elton John?
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of new releases, Odd Future Volume 2 comes out today.
Today, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was leaked
a couple
days ago.
And did you know that Earl's on a track?
Yes, that's why I was bringing it up.
Yeah.
That Earl is on, like, a 10-minute track that is the album's closer.
And that's crazy, because that was not announced when the track list of the album came up. Tyler was saying that wasn't going to be on it.
Of course he did, though.
Of course,
that's such a Tyler move.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, that's awesome that he shows up on there, I guess. Yeah. I guess.
You know, actually, I listened to Ned Flander this morning.
Yeah.
I thought that song was pretty cool.
Was that the next single?
Yeah, that was the single that wasn't Rella.
I didn't like it.
I thought it was okay. I thought the beat was really good.
The music on both tracks was really good, but there was just no lyrical content. That was the problem.
No, I thought Ned Flander was pretty good.
Eh.
It was a little bit... It's not...
It was just Haji and Tyler, right?
Yeah, it's just Haji and Tyler. And it doesn't... Like, it doesn't really feel like it means anything.
Yeah, it feels like a rehash. It feels like they're trying to hold on to these personas they've created, But those personas are already stale.
There's a new story on
it. And Hajime's proved that by making an EP that showed him grow in leaps and bounds as an artist and as a writer, and then he still decides to go back and just kind of do this shit.
Well, there's a new story on NME tonight. Or not tonight. It's the daytime.
In the future. In the tonight. Yes. In a few hours, this story will be on NME, but exactly. We know already.
It was just a quote from... It was one of those news stories that I was going to bring in, but then didn't because it was just, like, a stupid... Like, it was, like, not a real news story. It was just, like, a quote.
Hmm.
And it was just, like, Tyler saying, like, yeah, I think people aren't going to like it. But
the
was,
album?
Yeah, but just also being, like, yeah, but at the same time, you know, we just sort of made the album that we wanted to make, and that was it.
Yeah.
Kinda, which is cool. You know, Odd Future don't answer to people.
Yeah.
They make what they want to make. So at the very least, they always are going to be genuine.
Yeah.
So that's cool. What I don't like about Odd Future that I've noticed recently is that they don't put their albums up on their website for free anymore.
Yeah.
Which I think is a bummer.
But, I mean, that's because they're on major labels.
They're on a subsidiary of major labels.
Yeah.
If they wanted to, though, they could totally do it. If they said, like, hey, guys, we want, like, you know, physical release, but we would like to put it on our album for free so people can download it.
But,
like,
I mean, it's really cool totally that's what they did it. In the beginning when they were underground. I think Tyler makes no bones about that fact.
Absolutely.
He wants to be famous.
But I think even
he
a band...
He wants to make money, you know, for
and
his
and
mom.
Certainly they haven't gotten as big, but, you know, a band like... Bond the music industry, for example, have been getting slowly bigger and bigger and bigger.
But it's so different, like, because they already belong to such a niche genre of music, whereas Odd Future belongs to a mainstream genre of music.
You're right. But even someone like Laura Stevenson, who's, like, selling out shows now, you know, she at least put Sit Resist up for free for a month.
Right.
You know?
That's
where
true.
She was like, okay, you guys, if you want this for free, like, I still want really believe in this, so,
yeah.
You know... Come download it for free and that kind of stuff.
That's true. It's cool that she did that.
You know, and I wish Odd Future would do that because it's like, I don't really want to buy Odd Future tape volume 2.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel bad about downloading it.
Right.
But I really don't want to buy it.
That's kind of how I felt about Goblin, but still downloaded it.
Yeah, I guess so.
And also, like, I mean, as much as maybe... It is still, in a way, our responsibility to be there to support them. Like, the wheels are all in motion, with or without us. People are going to buy the record or not buy the record, and
yeah,
the
sure.
artists are going to make a lot of money or not make money. Yeah. And Tyler complains about being famous and making money anyway, so I think he wants us down to get shit for free. And that's the thing,
well,
too.
Well, that's
is
my
like,
problem, is that
he
you know
knows
what?
That no matter what happens, it's going to be put up on torrents, and people are going to be able
but
to
I also think that
he doesn't care.
I also think that he doesn't have a problem with it, so, like, why not just release it for free? Mm-hmm. You may as well. May as
I
well as,
to
as,
do
as
the
a
label,
goodwill
though.
Sort of thing.
Maybe the label just, like, isn't letting them do that.
No, man, because they started, it's like, it's their own label, pretty much. Like, they started,
that's
they're
true.
They're signed to a major, but they created their own subsidiary just for Odd Future.
Yeah.
To do whatever the hell they wanted to do. You know? So, and they're doing a pretty big marketing push. Like, this album has, like, it has, like, four different covers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the covers are all pretty cool, actually. Like, it's all artwork, I think, by Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all pretty neat stuff. You know, but, and I think Tyler would have no problem with people downloading his stuff, but
yeah.
I think, so if that's the case, like, why not just put it out there?
Yeah,
free?
I guess.
You may as well. And then if I like it, because this is how I am, if I like it, I will totally buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not confident enough from what I've heard to buy that album.
Yeah.
To spend the money, to drop the money on that, personally. So
still download it illegally, and if you like it enough, then go and buy it.
I guess I could. I just wish that I didn't have to do it illegally.
Right. But that's... Tyler wouldn't have it any other way.
I don't know.
He
I think
wants that's... you to get it illegally.
That's not true.
It is true. It's what Odd Future is all about.
Eh. I don't think so. No, man. That's
doing
why they...
bad
Because they put up their shit for free before anyways.
Yeah, bro.
So they
but
want
But now
you.
They don't. Now they want you to get it illegally.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting music illegally, I have some stats. Bandcamp, which is a big music, sort of the new MySpace, I guess, for bands. Maybe, do you know what Bandcamp is?
Yeah.
Okay. So Bandcamp is this website.
I know about it because it's where I discovered Wu-Tang versus the Beatles, or where
Yeah. That shit is the bomb.
Yeah.
So this is a place where it's like MySpace, except MySpace was originally made for personal stuff and then turned into a band thing. This was always made for bands, so it's a service that you can set up, and you you know, you have a band page and you have albums up there and you can put all that stuff for streaming, and then you can also sell your album, or you can do it for free. Mm-hmm. And you sell it and he sets it up through PayPal, and you can download it in a bunch of different formats and all this good stuff. So they did a survey sort of from their own, on their own clientele, I guess. And they've released some pretty nice statistics out of here. So here are some things that I'll mention. These are some point form notes, and I'll post the entire article over here. So I think what they're trying to do here is they're trying to prove that, like, there are ways to combat privacy and that people will still pay for music. Mm-hmm. Kind of thing. So here are the things. In the month of December alone, Bandcamp artists raked in more than $1 million in music and merch sales, bringing the total to date to $12.6 million. 22% of those sales happened because of the Bandcamp, driven by things like tags, the homepage, recommendations, and the search. 40% of the time, fans pay more than the asking price for Name Your Price albums. And 53% of all purchases are made by fans located outside of the U.S. They've also said that a lot of the time, a lot of their sales have been coming from, like, people going to find torrents of the album and then seeing that it's on sale and being like, oh, okay, I'll just buy it.
Hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
I think that's really neat. I you know what? I've had situations like that through Bandcamp where I've heard, like, maybe I'll be on, like, If You Make It, which is, like, a DIY punk site I go on, and I'll see, like, there's a cool band there, and then I'll be sort of be, and then he'll be like, oh, you can buy this album from their page or whatever, and I'll go to their page and check it out, and I'll listen to some stuff, and then whereas normally I'd maybe just buy it for free, like, you know, they'll have, like, a name your price kind of thing, and I'll be like, nah, I'll give them, like, $5 or $10 or whatever, because, you know, it seems cool. Like, I did that for Crash of Rhinos, who I talked about a little while ago, and
mm-hmm.
A bunch of other bands and that kind of thing. I think that's pretty cool. I think Bandcamp is a good service.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think it's positive to know that there are people still kind of supporting things.
Like, yeah, and not even that, but even just like that, there are ways to get people to pay for music, and that the music industry does not have to be destroyed.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Exactly. It just needs to dispense with its old model.
Yeah. So that's cool. Okay, what other releases you got?
Well, I mean, we already know it. Neil Young and Crazy Horse have been working on stuff, but now it's been confirmed that the album is going to be called Americana, and it's going to be kind of... It seems maybe it's all covers, but maybe it's, like, half and half. But it's basically, as the title implies, traditional American songs. They're doing This Land Is Your Land. They're doing... There's a train coming around the mountain, this whatever.
This Land Is Your Log.
Nice. So, yeah, that could be kind of cool. Nice to hear them just kind of get... to their kind really? Of roots.
Eh. I don't really
like, I mean, as far as kind of like,
I think it's
artists of that era still recording, Neil Young is one who I trust the most, and especially
you're
with
right.
a band like Crazy Horse.
You're right.
It'll be a nice listen.
I just feel like that's sort of the de facto thing for aging rock stars to do is like,
yeah,
what can I do? I'll go back to my roots, I
but
guess.
But Neil Young's an artist with so much integrity that
you're right.
like,
yeah.
that this is, he wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't what he wanted to do.
That's true. Rush pulled it off pretty well.
True, yeah.
But Rush did it because, specifically, because it was, like, really quick, and they were like,
yeah.
30th anniversary, here are some songs.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was about kind of, like, the rock songs that influenced them, whereas Neil Young and them were going to the folk stuff that influenced them.
Yeah.
Back to the roots.
Yo, the Roots are on that album?
Yeah, bro.
That's sick.
Neil Young and the Roots.
I'd listen to that.
Yeah.
That'd be the weirdest collaboration.
It'd be a weird one.
Yeah. Maybe not the weirdest.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Lou Reed, Metallica, I'm looking in your direction. I don't know, what would be weirder?
Weirder than the Roots and
you know, no, between like those two collaborations, which one would be weirder? Lou Reed, Metallica, or Neil Young and the Roots? I think Neil Young and the Roots just seems more outlandish now only because it hasn't happened. Whereas Lou Reed, Metallica actually exists. So it doesn't seem weird anymore, looking back on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where Metallica and Lou Reed sort of, like, it's one of those things, it's like any big thing, like, it gets hyped up for such a long time, and then it comes out, and then you sort of talk about it for, like, a week or two, and then it's just, all right.
Yeah.
And that's gone, you know?
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. I don't know, The Roots and Neil Young. I think it's got some potential.
Yeah, me too. I think they can do some interesting things.
I think we need
together.
To start a campaign.
Yeah. Neil Young's had so many backing bands in his career. Why not The Roots?
Yeah, that's the one of the dimensions Neil Young has not gone to yet.
It's true. He's never done hip hop.
I want to see
I feel like it would just
except
hit a
for that
R&B
remix
anyway.
Of his song, the Old Man remix, that came out like last year. It was a pretty big song. It was really big, actually, for a while.
Was he?
No, he didn't.
A part of it. Yeah, so
no. I think I talked about it on the podcast once about how it was one of the worst remixes I've ever heard.
I don't remember.
It's terrible.
Interesting.
Anyways, yeah. You got anything else?
Yeah, well, as long as now that we're kind of talking about hip hop, Snoop Dogg is saying some interesting and perhaps ultimately empty things about how he's going to be reborn on his next album and how he never really knew who he was. Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting because Snoop Dogg is kind of like one of those rappers who I get so fascinated by and wrapped up in kind of talking about the whole idea of gangster rap and personas within gangster rap, and that Snoop Dogg is this man who's always had such a distinct persona within gangster rap, but it's also developed so much as his career's gone, where like, he came out, you know, with Dr. Dre, and he was kind of this, like, dangerous, scary gangster type guy who still had his mellow sides and whatever, but it obviously became more and more cartoonish and more based around him being like a weed smoking pimp than about being a gangster, really. But he's always kept that gangster side to him.
Well, but that's the thing. Snoop Dogg is a hard guy to make sort of dangerous again.
Of course.
He's such a joke
and
now.
He knows that. He's not trying to be dangerous, but he still likes talking about those tired gangster things because it's where he comes from or whatever.
Yeah.
But now he's kind of saying that, like, he really wants to steer away from being from that kind of gangster persona, and that he's always kind of been about peace and love and that kind of thing, and that's what he wants to be expressing. And I think with kind of his likable, easy personality, and with the kind of the fact that he often does surround himself with strong collaborators and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, and the fact that he's so influenced by classic soul and whatever, and how much that shows in the way he raps, I think he could pull off a really interesting, pleasant album.
Yeah,
but it's unfortunate that he very well might not.
I wish musicians could just let the album sort of speak for itself.
For sure.
Maybe give interviews afterwards.
But I think that's a problem as an artist, is that, like, artists get so excited by what they're doing and wrapped up into it that they want to talk about it before it's out there.
You know,
but I agree that you should let the art speak for itself before you go and run your mouth
about it. Like, if I'm ever in a band that is interview worthy or whatever, and someone asks me, like, what's your new album gonna be like, I'm just gonna be like, just listen to it.
Yeah,
just like, exactly. Just like, you'll see. I'll be like, yeah, it's new songs.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's also, at the same time, while it's partly just the artist getting overexcited and just wanting to be like, this is what I'm doing, guys, it is about building that hype as well.
Yeah, yeah, it's totally the hype.
Because, you know, getting people talking about it.
I understand that is a necessary kind of evil.
Yeah.
I guess it's just, it always seems, from older guys, I always get very cynical about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, they're always like, get back to my roots, or like, I'm re-examining myself. Or, you know, it's just like all these sort of buzzword kind of statements that are kind of meaningless.
But, I mean, you know, I don't have high hopes or anything, but I still am hoping that he comes out with some nice, soulful, mellow hip-hop that, where he actually, like, you know, I don't expect it to be super intellectual, but just where he at least kind of has some content there. Or just pleasant rhymes, whatever it ends up being, because his flow is a delight to listen to this day.
Yeah. Now, I don't think I mentioned this last week, but Japandroids have actually released a date for their new album. I just want to talk about that.
Cool.
But I can't find it right now.
Hmm.
So I guess I'm not going to talk. Oh, it's out in June. Haha.
Sweet.
Sweet. It's called Celebration Rock. I'm super pumped. That's all.
Nice.
Okay. What else you got? I see you got one more thing over there.
I do have one more thing, and it's something I'm real excited for. Because it's something I remember a little while ago. I was kind of trying to find this music, because it was during the summer when I was, like, deeply interested in the occult. And I was listening to a lot of Led Zeppelin, and, you know, because Jimmy Page is, like, really into the occult.
Well, because Satan is in the music.
Yes.
Yeah.
But also, you know, it's no secret that backmasking probably was placed there by Jimmy Page because he was so deeply fascinated by the occult.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. He bought Aleister Crowley's house. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that that Stairway to Heaven was meant to have those
messages.
Really?
You don't think it's just people, like, sort of hearing things that aren't there?
No.
Because it's true. Like,
if
you don't know what the words are, you can't really tell what he's saying.
Yes.
You can maybe hear Satan.
Where with a lot of backmasking things, that is so distinctly true. With the Led Zeppelin one, it kind of does sound like it really is there.
I don't think so. I'm not so sure. But anyways,
To me, it's more likely that Jimmy Page actually inserted the backmasking than that it's just a coincidentally sounds like that.
So anyway, in the early 70s, he made some apparently avant-garde instrumental soundtracks for some kind of culty movies. This movie called Lucifer Rising, and right. So that's finally being released as Lucifer Rising and other soundtracks. And I remember at the time I kind of read about this stuff, but I couldn't find the music anywhere, and I wanted to hear it because I wanted to hear Jimmy Page kind of indulging in his more occult interests with through music.
Yeah, see, that's an interesting new release kind of old yeah. stuff album. Yeah. Like, because I can imagine that being so different from anything else that Jimmy Page ever did.
Exactly.
And it's pretty, like, yeah, hearing Jimmy Page soundtracks, that's something that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I saw that news and I was kind of excited by it.
Neat. Cool, I'm excited for that. Do you know when it's coming out?
No, I don't have a date.
All right.
You want to talk about Yoshimi?
Yeah, I want to talk about Yoshimi. So, Flaming Lips are releasing a Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots musical.
Yeah.
This year, later this year.
And you know, I think when I first heard this, like, ugh.
Well, it's going to be, let's put out some details here.
Yeah.
It's going to premiere in either November or December, and it's going to run in California's La Jolla Playhouse. It's directed by Dus McAnuff. Who directed, production of Tommy. He's directed, I think this year he directed Jesus Christ Superstar. Like, he's done some big things. He's won a bunch of awards and stuff.
Cool.
He's I guess he's an award-winning director. It was originally, this is, I think, hilarious. It was originally going to be written by Aaron Sorkin. Do you know Aaron Sorkin?
Right. Well, I know because I read this article.
Yeah. So he wrote the West Wing and The Social Network, and he mostly just writes, like, a lot of political dramas.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. And then it turned out that the musical was going to be sung through, so there's going to be, like, no dialogue. Yeah. It's all going to be out through songs.
And that's where I began to actually get a bit interested.
Yeah.
Because when I first heard this, I was like, oh, great. A jukebox musical about, like, around the songs of an alternative rock band. This is bizarre. And, like, especially the fact that it is literally a jukebox musical. It's not like they're trying to turn Yoshimi into a rock opera.
Well, they are.
But they're using songs from other albums, too.
As
jukebox musicals do.
Yeah, exactly.
And all that kind of stuff. But the fact that it's going to have no dialogue and stuff makes it sound like, because it's the Flaming Lips involved, like it might end up being more like a Cirque du Soleil show where the characters are actually singing than some corny jukebox musical.
I mean, it's going to be like a musical.
Yeah, you
know?
Sure.
Like, no shit, it's a musical.
Sure.
But, you know, the Flaming Lips are very theatrical in the way they perform anyway. Like, their stage show was very big, and a lot of the time
exactly, I'm imagining it looking a bit like their stage show.
Like, I think if they can sort of move their weirdo aesthetic over to a theatrical show, I think that's really cool. I think that can totally be done well.
Yeah. I guess it is also another in a long line of interesting experiments they've been playing with.
Yeah.
Like, that this has really become their career.
Yeah.
Just doing weird shit.
And, you know, I am not a huge fan of that.
Right.
I think it's not what I want. Like, cause Flaming Lips are sort of the people who make some of the most interesting alternative rock music,
mm-hmm.
especially these days. Like, you know, they've had probably a 30-year career at this point, and it's been pretty the great all the way through. Like, the 90s were a great time for them, obviously, just as a really great alternative rock band, but they've just been doing some really interesting things mm-hmm. album-wise over the past...
Since 99.
Yeah, since 99. This musical is supposed to include stuff from At War with the Mystics and Soft Bulletin. Didn't mention any Embryonic, but I'm wondering if that's probably going to be on there.
So
I think it's a bit of a bummer that they've sort of just been doing this kind of wacky, kind of druggy, experimental shit.
Yeah.
That is not really that good.
Right. I mean, I haven't listened to any of their day-long tracks or anything.
No, I haven't either.
I'm sure those could be really cool songs.
I'm sure there's parts of them that are cool, but, like, no one can sustain 6 hours of interesting music.
Or 24.
Or 24. Hell no. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's true.
Surely
it must have some weak patches.
Yeah. But, I think this is okay. I'm okay with it. I think...
They're doing this collaborative album, so that's almost a bit of a return to them making music again.
Except it's collaborative, so it's a gimmick.
Exactly. Which is what's interesting. Like, they're finally releasing a new album, but it's still this long line of experimental gimmicks they've been doing.
Yeah.
So it really proves that it's their career.
You know, it's one of those things where I feel like they need to have it. I think I've said that before, where, like, they need to have... Like, Flaming Lips are a band that need to get all this stupid bullshit out of their way before they can actually come out with a good album.
Yeah, Embryonic was also very collaborative, though. Not in the same way as this, and not
there
using
are, yeah.
on that gimmick, but...
There's a couple collaborations on it that I think work really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the thing that I feel weird about in the musical is just the plot of it, which is that it's going to be about, like, you know, a little girl who has to fight evil robots.
Right, because that's what Yoshimi's about.
Sort of. What Yoshimi the song is actually about is that it's this whole big allegory about a little girl who they met who was fighting off cancer.
Right.
Which makes that song very touching and sort of less like...
I'm sure the allegorical content will exist in the musical. I'll be kind of surprised if it doesn't.
I guess so. Anyways.
Because then there won't be much depth to it.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I just hope there is a certain amount of depth to it and not just Flaming Lips weirdness.
Yeah. True.
Because that's when the Flaming Lips are really great, when they put in that depth.
Right, when they have soul about it.
Yeah. And not when they're just being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. Yeah, but I think that's pretty cool. I'd like to see, like, I'm never going to get a chance to see this, because I'm not going to be going to California, unless it starts becoming a big sensation, which I doubt it will.
Yeah, that'd be bizarre.
That'd be fucking crazy.
The next Mamma Mia.
Yeah, that'd be so crazy. But then the Flaming Lips would get, like, super popular, and that'd be weird.
Yeah, that would be weird.
It
would be weird if it was, like, the third renaissance of their career.
Yeah. That would be so weird.
Yeah.
Anyways. So, yeah, but I think, you know, I'd like to see what it looks like and that kind of thing. I'd like to see how it gets received.
Yeah.
That's going to be pretty interesting. All right. I don't have much to talk about anymore. I think I'm pretty much done. You got anything else you want to mention?
I guess not.
Okay. So.
Okay, go.
Okay, go. Pretty good band. Pretty okay. Go. All right, so if you would like to listen to the things that we're talking about, you can go to twoloudguys.blogspot.com. There will be links up there to all the stuff that we have mentioned here. And please send us some emails at twoloudguys@gmail.com. We love getting stuff. We love talking. We haven't gotten any emails in a long time, actually. It feels like it's been, like, months since we've gotten any, like, questions or anything.
Yeah.
So come on, people. Pick up that slack.
Yeah, guys.
And subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate us. If you hate us, give us 1 star. If you love us, give us 5. Or anywhere in between is fine, too. Just, it'd be really nice to be on some kind of ranking system. You gotta get a certain amount of ratings before you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, for March 20th, I am Daniel Korn.
And I'm Corey Gardner.
We will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for tuning in.